from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I don't know about you two, but I could get used to this three-day weekend thing. That was nice.
Whew. Guess what I decided over the weekend? I would like to semi-retire. I would like, just follow me here.
Okay. It's comedy hour, apparently, Sam.
Are we starting terrible jokes early?
We're doing jokes early.
You know, when you come off a three-day weekend or in the middle of a glorious three-day weekend, and I had a glorious three-day weekend, you start thinking, you know, I could get used to just working four-ish days a week. You liked it. Don't tell me you've never had that thought.
No, of course. I love it.
You know, you only work half a week anyway when you add up the hours.
I'm just saying.
Accurate.
I could get used to the old four-day work week.
Went to UCM on Saturday.
How was that?
It was lovely. Maya and I had a very nice lunch. I was telling Sam earlier, I don't know if it's like a country club or something, but you know, you can go in like this,
yeah,
right? Just shorts and a t-shirt, and but the food is really good.
At Mules? National?
That is exactly
is that
what I
is?
Said. That would be the country club there.
It's the golf course, and they have an outstanding men's and women's golf team. I've played that course half a dozen times.
Yeah, so we just went and ate in the little dining area.
It's absolutely fabulous. Yeah. Did you watch the golfers come in on the 18th hole? It's an island. It's an island green.
Well, I'm going to have to start paying more attention.
Oh, Scott, it's one of the best greens in the region.
But if I see people golfing, I don't watch.
It's an island. How did you not see it? Are you sure that's where you were? You would not have missed
not.
The island.
Maybe not.
There's a big old horseshoe.
On water?
Maybe I don't remember that.
Okay. He was at Top Golf. Anyway, the food is great.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that there was golf. I just, it had that country club kind of feel, loose, but, you know, not hoity-toity. And the food's really good. And then, of course, I looked over at her and I said, how about Dad goes and buys you groceries?
Oh, that's and the best thing you could say to a college kid.
So we ran over to Hy-Vee,
next to
shameless
beer.
Plug, and boy.
Good for you.
My wallet came out a little thinner.
Good for you.
Oh, went to the Royals game yesterday. And not the result we wanted, but.
Yeah, what has been going on? By the way, I blame us for jinxing them. Because we opened the show after we tied it up for the number one spot in the division. We opened the show with the final call of winning the game. And have we won a game
we
since?
We were number one for like 25 minutes.
About a cup of coffee, yeah.
And now we're 4.5 back, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other teams that are kind of, we're all bunched up kind of at that stat. And
the
so,
good news is, I've heard this from many sports guys, that there's basically no way that we can't get a wild card spot.
Okay.
But it's going to be the third one.
Right. Well,
it's not going to be a good wild
be
card
nice
spot.
To win. Is it Cleveland that's in town?
Mm-hmm.
It would be really nice to win tonight.
Well, I tell you what, though, and I will say this just briefly, we're not a sports station. Going to Kauffman at the beginning of September, and there are 30,000 people there.
It's stunning.
It was awesome. The whole lower bowl was packed.
All right. We got to have a chat with the media department over at the Kansas City Royals. First of all, I get a text from my good friend over there on Monday that says, hey, are you guys at work? I'm like, why would we be at work on Labor Day? I'm like, no, are you? And then I'm like, duh, the Royals played yesterday. So she said, we're coming by to drop off something for you and for Scott. And they were at the door and no one was answering. And I said, well, that's because no one is working on Labor Day. So the Royals bring this basket by today. And it's filled with fabulous swag, and we are so thankful for it. And it's in partnership with Chick-fil-A, so I will give them the plug. They're doing this thing tomorrow night. The game is 6:40, and they have introduced a foul poll, F-O-W-L, in conjunction with Chick-fil-A. Oh. If a Royals player hits the foul pole.
Oh, so that's like where yes, you would hit it foul.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or if the Royals turn a double play in the second inning, everyone at tomorrow's game gets a free chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. Here's why I have an issue with the media department over there. They sent this great box of swag. There's a hat and there's a koozie and there's a couple of cows from Chick-fil-A. And there's just some nice swag in this box. I'm going to keep the box.
Super cute stuffed animals.
Then for some reason, they decide, let's put bouncy balls in the swag box.
And give it to somebody with ADHD. That's brilliant.
Said to their media folks, let's give the person with severe ADHD a bouncy ball coming off a three-day weekend right before her show starts. Boink, boink. I am obsessed with these things.
Well, are we talking about it?
What do you call it, Sam? It's not a racquetball because it's much, it's much bouncier, number one, and it's not as hard. You get tagged with a racquetball, it hurts. I was flinging this at the sports guys out there.
It's just a bouncy ball.
Oh, my God. I love it. So thank you, Royals. Chick-fil-A sandwich is free if they hit a foul pole tomorrow. Game time, 6:40.
Put the ball back in the bucket.
I know, but I like squeezing it. I like touching it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I do. There's something very satisfying about it. It's just satisfying.
You took it back out of the bucket.
Okay, it's back.
All right.
Are we going to have a come to Jesus right out of the gate about Grinter Farms? Because I think that's where we need to start. Or do we save it for three? Because I saw that Facebook post last night, Sam, while watching the Royals game. Fun fact. And I cannot believe what people have been doing at one of the most lovely fall.
It's a destination.
Scenic destinations around Kansas City.
We have canvassed pictures of the kids.
In the sunflowers.
Yes.
I've got everybody one with me and the girls. Everybody does it.
Yes. No, let's do it right now. This is from Channel 9. Grinter Farms is asking visitors to stop cutting the blooming sunflowers. Did you hear that? Visitors are apparently cutting off the tops of the sunflowers. The privately owned farm, which is free to visit, made the request in a recent Facebook post. The sunflowers are currently in bloom and attracting many visitors. And keep in mind, years ago when they first started doing this, I mean, so many people were going up there, it was almost creating, if it wasn't, creating
traffic
jams.
Yes.
However, the farm owners have noticed that some people have been cutting off the open blooms, which they say is not a good idea.
You think?
They are urging visitors to simply enjoy the flowers and not damage them. See, this is why we can't have nice things.
And this family puts in their blood, sweat, and tears, and quite frankly, thousands and thousands of dollars to maintain this field every single year to use for free.
Collective enjoyment. And I'm telling you, I'm going to pull up the exact Facebook post, because when I saw it, I thought, I almost want to shame the people who did this. I think they should be outed.
Well, I think we're looking at a long list if they're putting out a Facebook post saying, hey, cut it out. Because there are, what, thousands if not tens of thousands of sunflowers in this gigantic field?
Yeah, thousands if not tens of thousands of people from around the area that
the
go to see them.
Exact post from late yesterday. Okay. Well, a new rule that is just maybe common sense. Okay, all rules are common sense, they write. If you are at a sunflower field, as the flowers are just opening, it is very respectful to not cut all the open blooms you can find. I was so disappointed when I went to look to see how many blooms popped since this morning, and folks are walking out with armfuls of cut blooms.
Who are you reading this from?
Directly from the Grinter Farms Facebook page. Okay. People drive here to see the blooms in the field, not in your car as you drive away. Please exercise common courtesy. Sorry for the rant, folks. There will be more open blooms tomorrow. In parentheses, hopefully more not to pick.
Somebody writes on the text line, my friends live across the road. There were 20 cars there on Saturday, not one sunflower bloom. Now, I'm assuming it's because people are just cutting them all off.
Well, no, because there's billions of flowers out there. It just happened. It's like.
But the ones that have already bloomed, they've cut them all
people
off.
People have taken them.
Yeah.
But Scott, let me show you a picture from this morning from the Grinter Farms Facebook page, because it was fingers crossed 8 a.m. and look at all of the open blooms.
Oh, yeah.
They're open now. whoever said there was 20 cars there and they weren't open, you peaked one day too early. Go now.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Why would somebody do that? And it's not somebody, it's somebody's.
It's also theft.
Yeah.
Now, how do you value a sunflower bloom?
I mean, I
but it's theft.
I just thought, do better.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we do better?
Well, and this was a trickle-down effect. I can't imagine they all decided that they were going to be horrible citizens that day. I'm sure one person saw another person doing it and thought to themselves, oh, that'd be nice to have a couple of those at home.
I'm going to read one more from 2 days ago because this is important for anyone who wants to go see the stunning display of sunflowers. Hey, all. The first flowers started opening yesterday. So this would be 3 days ago, Saturday.
All right.
Into Sunday. There will be many more popping open today. The Labor Day estimate was a good one, and by tomorrow, yesterday, many more will be open. If you're the type that wants a full field of flowers, midweek should be your time. Disclaimer, we are in no way responsible for educated guesses made false by Mother Nature. If you come out, you're super bummed because you didn't see the amount of blooms you were hoping for, we offer retail therapy at the Sunflower General Shop. It's a super cute place full of homemade goods.
I have a dumb question. Why do sunflowers bloom so late in the year?
That I don't know.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. The Chiefs have released the schedule for Thursday when they take on the Ravens out at Arrowhead. Thursday game. Parking gates open at 2:30. The tailgate district opens at 3. All gates open at 5.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Did you see
warm-ups at 6:20?
The sunrise this morning.
No, wow.
Which was a nod to the Chiefs opening home opener week.
You were up to see the sunrise?
Long story. It is the most stunning sunrise, and it is red and gold.
Did you take that picture?
No, but it's right where I live. And it's making the rounds because it's so incredible. And it looks like, hey, Arrowhead, we're ready to go. Let's do this, baby.
Exciting stuff. What time did you say the parking lot gates opened?
Hang on. The parking gates open at 2:30.
Which means you can't.
That is correct. You cannot enter the premises of Truman Sports Complex until 2:30. That means you pedestrians walking in your chairs.
Remember, they changed the rule. Yeah. They don't want people.
Yeah, people were pretty upset about it. You know, and I've never been much of a tailgater, but, you know, I get it. People like doing it out there. And somebody used the word tailgating. You know, they form these little tailgating communities where it's the same group of people every single game. Well, now it's a mad dash to get to our spots before somebody else takes them. I get it, but to the Chiefs' point, you know, if somebody's getting out of a car on I-70 or on Blue Ridge,
right?
I mean, and they get hit by another car, I could see a scenario where the Chiefs are part of a lawsuit.
But then you saw the situation on the third preseason game where they looked like they were drag racer starting line people
trying to get in to be first.
Yeah.
I think this is something that sounded like a good idea in some board meeting. And then after this season, maybe they go back to the way it was. On paper, it sounds like a good idea. Right. All they're doing is creating a mass traffic jam funnel now right before those gates open at 2:30.
Well, and one of the complaints, because I remember when we did that story a handful of weeks ago, one of the complaints was there was no advanced warning. You know, the Chiefs, whether rightly or wrongly, I don't know, didn't communicate the change very effectively. And so people were showing up at 10 o'clock in the
Let
morning,
me in.
Getting out of their car, grabbing their lawn chair and starts walking towards a gate. And they're like, sorry, park's closed, kids.
Beer's not going to drink itself.
No.
I did not know until this season that the Super Bowl champion of the season before gets to play on that Thursday.
Always.
But that also means we now don't get the Chiefs for 9 days after this Thursday night's game.
Yeah, but we get them 3 days earlier.
Oh, I know! I was like, I'm just so excited it's here. I had college football on all weekend in the background.
Oh.
Did you guys see the catch? I know we're not a sports season. I'm telling you, I'm psycho for college football right now. The USC player one-handed and backward, they are already saying this is the catch of the year.
Yeah.
I did not see it.
Oh, I will find it and play it for you later. One-handed, up in the air, falling backward, catches it and brings it down. And I don't have any dog in that fight. I don't know anybody from USC. I don't even remember. It's the catch of the year. Florida, I think.
Okay. By the way, if you have DirecTV, good luck if you want any of the Disney networks. It says here Disney has pulled all of its networks, including ABC and ESPN, from DirecTV on Sunday.
Oh!
Amid an ongoing carriage dispute between the two properties. This is from Axios. Why it matters. TV distribution contracts are designed to expire ahead of major live events like a football season kickoff to give programmers leverage for the next negotiation. DirecTV has 11 million subscribers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How does that work?
I don't know.
Well, you were in TV.
Well, they negotiate those contracts at a bajillion levels higher than my pay grade.
And DirecTV would presumably pay.
Yes.
But what about like a lesser network? Like,
you're not going to get it. That's why the Royals are on Bally's. But they successfully negotiated somehow that contract. Right. And now if you don't have Bally's, you're going to a restaurant or a bar.
But what I mean is like a channel most people don't watch, like C-SPAN.
Okay.
Do they pay the carrier
to be part of the package?
Yeah.
I bet you they do.
Does even DirecTV say, well, we got to get that contract signed with C-SPAN and C-SPAN 2?
My guess is it would be the channels that pay to be part of someone's package, yes.
Okay. And they want more money because they have high-value shows that they know that Disney is making a lot of money off of, and DirecTV wants their cut. You don't get to use our airwaves unless you're giving us a certain value.
I will tell you this. We need to have a public service announcement for the Royals and the Chiefs, but specifically right now for the Royals. What channel is Bally's? Because we were at a restaurant yesterday afternoon. The game was starting.
It's a streaming service.
Said to the bartender, like, can you please put the Royals game on? 15 minutes later, they're still trying to find it because it's not ABC or CBS or Fox Sports One, the ones we're used to.
So if you have cable,
it's like 56 on Spectrum,
59.
Or 59. Mm-hmm. And is it only Spectrum that includes Bally's? Because I have it at home and didn't even know it.
Well, the local Fox Sports One is now Bally's Sports One.
Got it. There needs to be a memo about that.
But you can also get the Bally's streaming service.
$20 a month.
Yeah. And that's what costs $20 a month.
If you don't have one of the places like Spectrum, right, which I just happen to have Spectrum, so we get it.
So I have YouTube TV. They do not have Bally's. So they don't. So if I wanted to watch Royals games, I'd have to cough up $20 a month. And
probably not at the end of the season.
No. And with all respect to the Royals, I mean, that would be the most expensive streaming service other than YouTube TV that I have.
And it's the only thing you would watch on it.
Right. Well, but they do carry other Major League Baseball games. But I'm not going to sit down and watch, you know, Detroit and Tampa Bay.
Well, and even YouTube TV isn't really a streaming service. It's more of a cable service that happens to run through streaming.
So it's a streaming service.
Keep talking high level, Sam. We'll just go to Macy's.com.
Okay.
I don't even know what he just said.
I have no idea.
I don't know what it means.
It's a cable service that streams.
But it's disguised as an app on the web.
On the internet.
Well, it's an app that involves the internet. That's correct.
What?
Got it.
You can write a check to pay for it.
By the way,
are you back in?
Have you gone? Okay. Oh, wow. Have you gone over to her place yet and set her up?
I have not, no.
We're working on it.
Okay.
We're working on it. Because I still think, I just got charged for Roku, and I'm like, do I need that still? I feel like I don't. But I don't know.
Let me see.
As much as I want to make fun of Sam, he would know that. Like, why do I need this? Because I don't know that I need it if I have a smart TV.
Hourly rate just went up.
I know.
Here we go. Google, what's new in the Star Wars universe? You guys let me know when we're moving on.
I'm done.
I don't understand a word coming out of either one of your mouths.
Acolyte got canceled.
We're not even going to give the phone number because I don't want people calling in about this stuff because I don't understand it.
Somebody says Bally's is 73 on Comcast, 621 on DirecTV. Okay.
And 59 on Spectrum. But then when you're in a bar, Scott, you do this. Do you know what your cable provider is? And the bar blank stare. She goes, I just started 3 days ago. I'm like, great. Right. Do you have any idea how we get the Royals game? She's like, I have no idea.
All right. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. 7798. When we get back, some Clay County deputies are being hailed as heroes today.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. For what happened over the weekend at Worlds of Fun with a toddler. 913-586-7798. We'll get to that and much more in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Well, that was an awkward conversation we just had. So we were talking during the break. Dana says to me, I tagged you and Sam in this hilarious video on Facebook with some girl on a merry-go-round, and somebody spun her fast, and she goes flying off.
And I know how funny it is when people fall to you.
Yes, I think those kind of videos, as long as nobody gets seriously hurt, I think they're very funny. And I go and look at my notifications on Facebook, and there's nothing there from Dana Wright. And then in this kind of aha moment, like, I got him, she turns her computer screen toward me and goes, oh, I know why you haven't seen the video. We're not friends on Facebook.
That awkward moment where you realize you have been defriended on social media.
Well, two things. One, I was not tagged in it either because it's not showing up on mine.
Okay.
And the reason that you guys aren't friends on Facebook is because you blocked him.
Bingo.
That's what I told her.
He said the same thing. Yeah. I forgot that I blocked you lovingly for right. a moment to play a trick on you.
The best birthday prank ever.
It was brilliant. So it was absolutely brilliant.
I've made the request. Will you be my friend?
No.
And I
keep fighting, Dana. I had to beg for like 6 months.
And I would like you to go in and acknowledge and honor my request to be your friend.
Have you sent it?
I just sent it. And I will post the merry-go-round video on my Dana Wright KMBZ page because, Sam, it's this little girl.
And you ready?
Yeah,
confirm.
Thank you.
And we're friends again.
The meme says, back in the 80s, this happened to all of us at least once when an adult got involved on the merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
It shows this dad just boom, 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 just making it go faster and faster. This little girl, she's probably 9 years old.
Poor kid.
She's hanging on for dear life. And then the force.
Like, is she flying?
Yes. She just can't. Her little body can't take it anymore. She goes exit stage left through the air like Superman. And I'm telling you, it's hilarious. It
and
is
that
hilarious.
Mulch is not forgiving.
Oh my God. Remember we used to do that as kids? Have you even seen a merry-go-round anymore?
Yeah.
Do they allow them?
Yes, but usually they're in older parks.
They got to bring that back, man. That was great.
They're rusty and they squeak.
I think there's one in Mission.
Every once in a while, your leg would get caught under it. That never felt good.
Why did we ever decide that it was a good idea to put wood chips as the surface that kids would fall on at the playground?
The other thing is they don't do anymore are the metal slides. You remember in August.
Oh, those things would be like 110 degrees.
I think it's north of that, Sam. That was like third degree burn territory. And just climbed right on up
there.
I'm
looking for the video of the kid, and I don't see it.
I'll find it. I think I put it on my KMBZ page. But yes, I was earlier today like, did I do something to make Scott mad? Why are we not friends on Facebook?
No.
I feel like you'd be like.
There's a picture with you and the bouncy ball.
I'll show you. We're just not going to be friends anymore.
Oh, here it is.
I knew you would love it.
All right. Story here from Channel 9. A 13-month-old boy is alive, thank God, and recovering after a medical emergency at Worlds of Fun over the weekend. The child's mother is expressing deep gratitude for the Clay County Sheriff's Office deputies and park medical staff who responded swiftly to the crisis. The boy's mother was in distress when her son Taji became unresponsive. He was having a febrile seizure. She said for a moment, he was kind of just gone. He closed his eyes and was just lying there.
Yep.
Deputies arrived to find Taji, who had fallen into a lifeless state, and immediately began efforts to clear his airway and ensure that he could breathe.
How old is he?
18. Check that. 13 months.
Yep. Okay. So I've called it febrile. It might be febrile, but I think it's febrile.
I think it's febrile.
Seizure. Since the baby was about one. He was about that exact age. And this is where it happened, Scott. He had had a fever. I was on my phone with my then boss. And because he had a fever, I was cradling him in my arms and he just had a diaper on. I do remember that. Just still just a baby. And I was talking to my boss, cradling the baby, and I heard it before I saw it. And it was the most awful noise I have ever heard in my entire life, like a clicking, like a... And I looked down.
And he's conscious at the moment, right?
I looked down.
Oh.
And his eyes are rolled completely into the back of his head. And the other thing I'll never forget, his little hands were balled up and palsied, like doubled over, the little hands in a fist. And I mean to tell you, I threw down that phone, kicked the bedroom door open, started screaming, someone call 911. This was back when we had the phones stabbed on the chargers, you know, the headset type phone, whatever you call those. We couldn't find the phone. You know, you used to have a beep, find the phone.
Yeah.
My boss was still on the line. I was trying to get her to hang up so we could call 911. And in the middle of all that, Joe's running around trying to find a workable phone. Because you remember this, the kids would hide the phones or you'd pick up the phone and put it down and forget it. All that stuff.
We're talking about a landline, but not with a cord.
Right.
Okay.
So fire department's around the corner. We finally call 911. He is still making that noise. And I mean to tell you, the fire department was there, if I had to guess, in less than 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Did they look good?
I don't even remember.
I bet you were just frantic.
Oh, my God. I could hear the sirens coming. I could hear the sirens coming, and they're in the neighborhood. And I just thought, get here. And I was at the door with him waiting. And you have never been so glad to see an emergency responder in your entire life. I do remember the first firefighter that came to the door looked about like he was 17, right?
Yeah.
And then the guy that came up behind him, he's the guy, the huge, big, burly EMT fire guy, was like, Mama, hand me that baby. And he knew exactly what to do.
So they knew he was having a seizure.
He knew exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
He knew exactly where to put, like, he put him on the living room carpet, rolled him over, and he just looked at me. He goes, because I was hysterical. He said, this looks so scary. I think this is a febrile seizure. It's super scary, but he's going to be fine. But when you see it, oh, hell no.
Well, my brother, his weren't febrile. They were grand mal. It is horrifying, especially when you don't know.
What is this?
You know, because the first time my brother had a seizure, it was in front of me and me alone. And we were in Dallas. And I won't bore you with the story, but I was the only one in the room. I wasn't the only one in the house, but I was the only one in the room.
Yeah.
And my brother is just seizing like crazy on this bed. And I thought he was dying. And, you know, he's had several since.
But the difference between your brother who has epilepsy
and
the febrile seizure, which I now know but didn't know at the time, is it's usually fever-induced. And so what they said happens is his little body, we had done Motrin, Tylenol. His little body was coming off the last dose of Motrin.
Okay.
And before we redosed him with the Tylenol every 4 to 6 hours or whatever it is, there's a lag in between those two things, and his fever just shot up. You know, from 99 to 104, whatever it was.
It says here it happens when the fever is above 101.
Yeah. Most commonly occur in children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years. And the EMT guys told me that at the scene, like, this could literally never happen again. This could just be a one-off. It's just a random thing.
It's not really, I mean.
Nope.
You don't have to have epilepsy to have a febrile seizure.
Nope. It's a convulsion in a child that is caused by a fever, and the fever is often from an infection.
Can adults have them? Or just kids?
It says most common in little kid. Littles. I mean, like I said, he was still in a
diaper. Well, the kid
diaper.
At Worlds of Fun was only 13 months.
And it never happened again. But you better believe every time that kid had a fever, I was staring at him like a crazy woman. Like, I'm just going to crawl in the crib. Is that awkward? I'm going to hang out with him all night.
Joe, pour a cold bath. We're getting him.
Never happened again. One and done.
I'll be darned. Huh.
But God bless the firefighters, man.
Mm-hmm. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. I don't think either one of the girls had a febrile seizure when they were a kid, but I can only imagine what you were going through and what you were thinking.
You know, between that and, like, we've all had the choking scare. They've all choked on something. I had four of them. The odds were good someone was going to choke, and you got to whack the back and get that thing out of there. Those are probably the two most panicked I ever was as a parent.
Oh, the choking would be worse.
Yeah, because you know you've got seconds to get it out.
That's right. I don't think I've ever choked on anything in my life. And I don't recall the girls.
Not even as toddlers? hot dog or a,
not that I remember.
I remember Sophie. It was prunes. We were worlds of fun.
What kid eats a prune?
I was giving her a prune, and then she and you know prunes as you eat them, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a roast or something. It just keeps getting bigger in your mouth. And sure enough, that thing went down, and you know they get the real big eyes. And
oh, because they're as scared as you're about.
Oh
to be.
My god! I'm like, oh my god, she's choking. I got good at the whack on the back, man. I got good at it.
My mom got really good at the whack in the bottom.
Oh yeah, I wasn't spanked as a child. I don't remember that.
Can you tell I was?
Yes.
Frequently. I'm kidding, Maggie.
Was it a wooden spoon, yes. A belt, or her hand?
It was a wooden spoon. It was always a wooden spoon.
Or wait, a Hot Wheels track. Do not forget the Hot Wheels track.
God, no. No.
That's borderline child abuse.
My mom would, I don't think it was always a wooden spoon. Sometimes she'd probably use her hand. But, and I didn't get spanked very often.
Ever a stick out of the yard?
No.
Go pick out.
That to me now, go pick out a switch. Yeah. My babysitter called it a switch.
Yeah, that's what they called them back in the day.
Like, you should be in jail. You should be in jail for that.
I remember one time she did spank me with the wooden spoon, and it snapped in half.
Oh!
And I jumped up, and I go, that's it. I'm calling the cops. And she reached for the phone on the wall and goes, here, I'll dial. I'm like, oh.
If you can call them... get away from me before I get to you. Good luck.
And then the other time she did that was, I was probably, I don't know, 10 years old, 11. And I threatened to run away from home. And she just walked out of the kitchen. And next thing, I'm like, well, that didn't work. I remember going into my bedroom and she's in there and she's packing me a suitcase. And I go, what are you doing? She goes, well, you said you wanted to run away from home. I'm just making it quicker for you. And I'm
trying to help you out.
I mean, and at this point, you've lost, you know?
Right.
I mean, and I know that I've lost.
I love moms.
And I
back in the day, man.
Oh, God. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
God, did you hear this? We might bring this back in the 3 or 4 o'clock hour as well. An Alabama woman and her husband were visiting their rental property in Florida a few weeks ago when he started feeling pain on the left side of his body. They go to the hospital where they were encouraged to have his spleen removed. 70-year-old William Bryan was his name, otherwise healthy, was supposed to have his spleen removed at Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast Hospital in Walton County. The surgeon instead accidentally took out his liver.
That's a big difference.
You only got one of those and you need it.
Yeah.
His liver was removed.
Was it put back in?
For a procedure that involved the removal of his spleen. Now, I don't know where the spleen is or what it does. I think it's one of those things we don't know what it does and we don't need it. Or is that the pancreas?
That's a gallbladder.
Whatever. Anyway, I know you need your liver.
No, you need your pancreas.
He died during surgery. Surgery was performed by a Dr. Thomas Shanknovsky.
Former doctor.
Afterward, it was discovered that the organ Shanknovsky thought was and labeled as a spleen was actually his liver.
Okay, so your liver is back here.
Right.
It's on the right back side. The spleen is located in the upper left side of your abdomen behind your ribs.
How does this happen?
Completely opposite sides of the body.
They're also massively different sizes.
In a surgical pathology report by the coroner, the organ removed from Brian's body was, quote, designated as a spleen, but instead was a, quote, grossly identifiable liver that was partly torn. That is because when Dr. Shanknovsky wrongly removed the liver, he tore the blood vessels that connect to the organ, causing, quote, immediate and catastrophic blood loss resulting in death.
Wait, he tried to remove half the liver?
I just think when he removed it, he also removed some very important pipes connected to it, and he bled out on the tables, basically what this says.
How old was this guy?
70. An otherwise healthy 70.
And he was on vacation?
Yeah.
Start adding zeros.
Oh, man. Where do you start?
I mean,
how dumb do you have to be? Even I know what I wouldn't know what a spleen looks like. In fact, I don't even know what it does.
Oh God. After it gets worse. After the surgery, Dr. Shagnovsky told his wife that her husband's spleen was, quote, so diseased that it was four times bigger than normal and had migrated to the other side of his body.
Okay.
This guy needs to go back to med school.
No, I don't think he ever went.
Gosh. Now, the spleen, which was never removed, by the way, was discovered to have a small cyst on it. So it was the spleen causing the problem.
So where is the doctor now? In jail?
Okay, I was going to ask you, can you ever put a doctor in jail for, like, obviously if you were intoxicated, and he wasn't, I don't believe, I think he just doesn't understand anatomy. No. You know, then we're talking criminal.
Yeah, if there was a crime committed.
But can there be something so grotesquely negligent, like, oops, I removed your litter and the plumbing that goes with it, and now you're bleeding to death. Can that be criminal? That it is so negligent, it's criminal.
Like you have an actual degree in medicine.
Yes.
But and you are degreed in a way that you can do operations.
Yes.
But you suck at it so bad that somebody died.
That would be criminal negligence in medical malpractice.
I think this would rise to that level. I mean, it's probably a very, very, very small percentage where a physician is held criminally liable for a procedure, but this would be one of them.
It occurs when a victim suffers a personal injury.
Well death would qualify.
Yeah, because a care provider shows reckless disregard for human life or the safety of the patient. I think removing
how would you prove that? His defense, and I could see a defense lawyer very easily just saying, is my client dumb? Yes. Is he a criminal? No.
So he's pleading stupidity?
Well, yeah. Right after the surgery, he came out to talk to the now widow and said, ma'am, we're sorry. His spleen was so diseased. It was four times larger. That's because it was his liver. And it had migrated to the other side of his body.
In what world do organs...
spleens migrate?
I don't think any organ migrates.
It called an Uber and just drove around to the other side, ma'am. We have never seen anything like this.
You just got up and walked over to where the liver's supposed to be.
We just started slicing.
By the way, the spleen is part of your immune system.
Okay.
On the left side of your body.
It removes worn out red blood cells and other foreign substances. Okay. They've ranked the hardest working states in the union. Kansas, you came in at number 10. Congratulations.
Oh.
Missouri, you did not. Number 10, Kansas, hardest working states in the union. Number 9, New Hampshire. Colorado at 8. Number 7, Texas. Maryland at 6. South Dakota, 5. Wyoming, 4. Detecting a trend here. Nebraska, 3. Alaska, 2.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
North Dakota, number 1.
You know, I always ask, what are the metrics? Working harder, meaning by, you know, 70-hour work weeks instead of 40. Workers' comp claims.
Work week hours, employment rate, share of households where no adults work, share of workers who do not use vacation time, share of engaged workers, and idle youth. Also took into account average commute time, share of workers with multiple jobs, annual volunteer hours, and average leisure time. Only 2 of them are east of the Mississippi. New Hampshire and Maryland. Only 2.
Well, I'm surprised Kansas ranks so high because we are bringing that average down. Only got 4 days in this week.
Man, we would have been in 5th place if it wasn't for Dana and Parks. I'm gone. All right, news with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in just a couple of minutes.
A little bit of a sensitive topic coming up. Okay. If you have PTSD and it is diagnosed as such after a crime, say, does it last your entire life or career? That's one of the topics coming up involving the Chiefs, believe it or not. And also, if you got an Airbnb in Kansas City, they are cracking down.
Yeah, they are. We'll get to that. Much more coming up right after the news with Dan Weinbaum here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.